Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to Unruly. I'm your host, Sheila Marie. I'm an author, a fierce advocate for Black women, and the founder of the Curvy Curly Conscious Movement. In this space, I'm sharing what I've learned on my own journey while sitting down with some amazing women who are all navigating their own paths to healing. Because there's no better time than now to get a little unruly. I'm your host, Sheila Marie, and today we're discussing a topic that's incredibly close to my heart, healing through community and the power of sisterhood. I am so excited to introduce my favorite, a guest whose work I truly embodies the spirit of today's topic, the wonderful, the brilliant, the talented Melissa Ifill, also known as Iya Onyisoyi. Melissa is a licensed therapist, Lukumi priestess of Oshun, and a sacred transformation wellness coach who helps you connect with your inner knowledge so you can choose your wholeness. She masterfully bridges the gap between traditional healing practices and clinical understanding, providing effective coping tools and a deep education on how our mind, body, and spirit are all impacted by painful experiences. Today, we'll dive into Melissa's journey on how she uses her knowledge and unique blend of traditional and modern healing practices to empower women. We'll explore how we can use all these practices to support our wellness journey, reclaim our narratives, and co-create the lives we desire. So, if you are looking for inspiration on how to navigate your own path in healing, or if you're curious about creating more sisterhood in your life, this episode is for you. All right. So let's get ready because today's conversation is going to be uplifting and enlightening and, of course, a little unruly. Melissa, welcome to Unruly.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm actually really excited about this conversation. So thank you for having me.
Tell us why you're so excited.
Because, Sheila, you know, first of all, you and I, the relationship that we have, I think it breaks a lot of barriers. And I always enjoy being in conversation with you about the different ways in which you've healed, the different ways in which you support women in healing, and really opening up the conversation so that we can acknowledge that, you know, healing, especially healing for Black women, does not have to look just one way.
I love that. And you know what? This really wasn't the first question I was going to touch on, but I actually think our relationship is like a microcosm of how you can create sisterhood at large. Mm-hmm. Because whatever we resonate on together, we deeply resonate on together. Mm-hmm. And the things that don't, that are different, we just let each other live. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you said, we cross a lot of boundaries. Like, I've worked with you in a coaching setting. Mm-hmm. I've also worked with you professionally. I've worked with you personally. Mm-hmm. I've worked with you with my husband. And there's still a high level of respect in boundaries. You never take it for granted. I never take you for granted. And I think that's like really special. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to put a pin in that because I think we're going to come back to that.
I think we will too.
It's really beautiful. Yes. So one of my favorite things about working with you is your blend of using traditional spiritual tools mm-hmm. and like modern clinical tools. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know from your perspective, what's the difference between a traditional tool and a modern tool when it comes to healing? And why is it so important for you to have both?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Look at my eyes. My eyes just got real big. That's a really good question. And actually, it touches on something that I've struggled with professionally for a really long time. And over the past few years, I've really allowed myself to sit in it. I think that for me, the work that I do, I focus on working with, you know, Black and brown people, especially Black women. And we need bottom-up practices. So when I say bottom-up practices, I mean practices that really focus and center the body and the spirit first, and then the mind second. I think that when it comes to Western, Western models of healing, what we're learning when we see, you know, the popularity and the effectiveness of modalities like, you know, EMDR or brain spotting or even the growth of plant medicine, what we're seeing is that people understand that our body needs to be addressed, our spirit needs to be addressed in addition to the brain when it comes to these healing modalities and therapy, right? We're seeing the most effectiveness there. And traditional modes of healing have been doing that for centuries, right? When we look at even what EMDR is, when we look at what brain spotting is, it's a tapping into the subconscious mind.
Oh, can you break down for the listeners who might not be familiar with EMDR or brain spotting mm-hmm. what that is?
Yeah, so essentially the acronym EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is a way that we use and connect both the right hemisphere of the brain and the left hemisphere of the brain so that you have the ability to connect to the information that is embedded in the body by supporting the body in feeling safe enough to connect to traumatic experiences and reprocess them. What we know is that the experience that you have isn't traumatic unless the body registers it as such. And that's why two people can go through the same experience and one person won't have the same impact as the other. So the experience itself isn't traumatic unless the body registers it itself as such. And so with EMDR, scientifically, you know, based on Western science, what we know is that you're using a specific skills, right? Specific ways to connect the left part of the brain and the right part of the brain so that the body feels safe enough to reprocess experiences so that the body no longer interprets them as unsafe and doesn't register them as traumatic in the same way that they were when they originally occurred. And brain spotting, although I'm not as familiar with the science behind that, it is a similar technique, right? What we're doing is we're creating safety in the body so that the body can reprocess past experiences and you can relearn how to manage the impact of those experiences today, right? Mm. But what we know is that, you know, bilateral stimulation, which is the foundation of EMDR, right, connecting the right part of the body and the left part of the body, has been done for centuries through dance. It's been done for centuries through drumming, right? It's been done for centuries through walking, through hiking and talking with peers and community. And so while I always say that, you know, Western science is late, it is not groundbreaking. It is just using what we call modern tools, Westernized tools, to confirm ancient knowledge. Mm. For me, traditional healing practices take us back to basics. And if we understand that trauma lives in the body, then we also know that these healing modalities, I believe the cells of our body also remember them and they connect to them in such a deep way. And they're so simple and they can be formed into our everyday way of living so that healing is actually a way of life and you don't have to go to someone outside of yourself to engage with that. And so that's why it's so important for me. Yeah.
That's such a brilliant answer. And the whole time you're talking, I'm thinking about how I was radicalized, where when I first started getting into somatic healing practices, mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm like, I'm exhausted with talk therapy. I can't talk anymore about my mom and my dad. Like, people are like, yeah, the trauma's trapped in your body. Everyone will recommend you The Body Keeps the Score.
I hate that book.
Read The Body Keeps the Score. Read it. The Body Keeps the Score. And I remember reading that book and not being able to get through it. It was just too, it was almost like in my mind, like cold, sterile, like a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get through mm-hmm. it. And then I think it was you who recommended My Grandmother's Hands. Mm-hmm. Did mm-hmm. you? Yes, by Rezma Menakem. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's it. That's it. That's the missing link. And for those who don't know, My Grandmother's Hands is a book about how racial trauma and other types of trauma affect Black bodies mm-hmm. specifically. And so I just felt like there was just something missing from that conversation. But his approach just seemed, what's different from your perspective? Why would you recommend that book over The Body Keeps the Score? Because I feel like that's the most, when we talk about body healing, mm-hmm. people are going, The Body Keeps the Score is like the first book mm-hmm. that's going to come up. But for Black people, why would you recommend?
For me, just to normalize your experience, as a clinician, I couldn't get through The Body Keeps the Score. It didn't resonate with me at all because it's not practical enough. Right? It doesn't necessarily apply to the lived experiences that we have. There's actually another book. Oh, I cannot remember the name of it. I'll look it up while we're talking so that I can let you know. But Childhood Disrupted is another book that I tend to recommend a lot as well because it's very practical. It talks about how the experiences that we have, it tells stories about the experiences that we have. It applies it to the things that we know and that we've lived through. So it resonates with us. Also, when you look at the size of the books, right? Like My Grandmother's Hands didn't have to take like 500 pages to explain a concept, right? So The Body Keeps the Score is not a book that I actually recommend for a lot of reasons I won't get into. But, you know, one of them is I think it's very difficult to digest for most people that I work with.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you for affirming that for me. So it's interesting because you are a mental health professional. You are certified. You have a large clinical base of knowledge. And I feel like when it comes to Western ideas about mental health, it's largely individualistic. And in a field like yours where you're a therapist, I feel like where the track that they put you on would probably seem so individualistic and you deal with an individual client and you just focus on them and you're only talking to them. In that, this is your field that you're in. What is it that made you get so interested in community healing and getting away from that idea that it's only this individual that needs healing, that we need to have a focus on communal healing?
Ooh. I love your questions and the depth of them. Like, they're bringing so much out of me. So first of all, I'm a systems theorist, right? So what does that mean? I'm a social worker by profession and training. Before I, you know, even went to grad school and began the clinical track, I worked in community with people, right? I worked with young women who were in a residential setting, who had some of the most, well, were labeled as some of the most difficult and egregious young women on a campus that I worked with. And when I worked with those young women, and this is my introduction to any sort of community-based wellness work, you know, social work. And when I worked with those young women, what I noticed was everything that had to do with their challenges had to do with the environments that they were raised in and the environments mm-hmm. that were supposed to be supporting them in the way that those environments thought about them. And they embodied that level of knowing and understanding because they didn't know themselves. They were not at an age where they could even know themselves, right? And so when I went to grad school and we were introduced to different ways of seeing this work, right, whether it's community based working with individuals and families, or it's more, you know, organizational work, I've always been a systems theorist, someone who understands that we are all a part of systems. We all interact with and engage with systems, and we all impact systems. I don't see myself as someone who is separate from the process, right, the therapeutic process for the for the people that I work with. I'm a part of the system, right? We're all interacting and engaging with each other and picking up on energy and feeling energy. And so I've always approached every aspect of the work that I do from that lens. And then as I got more into working with the women that I work with and really drilled down, niche down into working specifically with Black women, mostly. I do have some Black men that I work with as well. But what I noticed with the women in particular was the further that they got along on their journey, the more that they came to this place of feeling well, the lonelier they felt. The more they felt that they didn't have anyone to share these experiences with, they felt less like they could relate to the people who they grew up with. They felt like they were always trying to take care of the other people in their lives and bring them along on their journey, and they weren't coming. And it really hindered their growth, because some people felt the need, because, you know, we have such a yearning for community. Some people really felt the need to stop being on their journey so that it to fit back into the communities that they were in, right? They weren't affirmed in their wellness. And so, you know, I started developing with intention my own community in 2020, June of 2020, so the height of the pandemic. And actually, the death of, you know, Jasmine Waters, who was a writer on This Is Us, and she was very well known in the industry, in the film industry, and the entertainment industry at large, her, you know, death by suicide really impacted me. And it really impacted me because what I would discover through her death is that there were a few clients I was working with who knew her personally, right? Mm. And they did not know each other. And these women who I was working with who knew her but did not know each other, it was very interesting to hear them each feel saddened at not knowing that there was some shared experience there, right? As much as she seemed to be struggling, they were also struggling. As much as she seemed to feel alone, they, you know, also felt alone. And there was no opening. There was no language that they felt that they had to be able to communicate with each other these experiences. And in fact, they were also very reminiscent about the judgment that they had for her as they witnessed some things occur in her and not know how to support her, right? And so I'm sharing that to say that's how I started my, you know, first community Raw, was knowing that my clients had been asking me to start something for a long time where they felt like they could be in shared community, where they felt like they could, you know, be supported and support others. And her passing propelled me to actually push forward and do it. And so that was the first community that I started. And we started as, you know, group education, processing, and then just really moving into sharing physical space through retreats. And then as I went on my own spiritual journey into my priesthood, many of those women wanted to come with me and still share space with me. I found that they were also spiritually inclined in different ways and in different spiritual traditions and in different faiths and still wanted to be in community with me and learn from me in that way. And so our relationship has evolved over time. And actually, you know, I sunsetted Raw for a few reasons at the end of 2023. And we've moved into community together called Reflecting Joy.
Wow.
During that work, what I also noticed is how being in community propelled their own healing journeys. It was like astounding to me. Women who I had been working with for years, who had been doing well, right, on their journeys, were all of a sudden doing like astronomically well. They, things that, concepts that like we were trying to push through and get through and ways of being for years, it was all of a sudden like they got it, like they just got it overnight. And I really couldn't understand that phenomenon. So I started doing some research. And what I discovered is, when we look at the trauma responses that we're most trained to know about, most of us, right? We look at fight, flight, freeze, and fawn, right? Fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. Nobody talks about the tend and befriend trauma response.
The who?
Tend and befriend trauma response.
This is my first time hearing that. I don't
know. Tend and befriend trauma response.
Tell us, is this like a people-pleasing thing?
So it can be, but let's talk about it. So in about 2000, there was some research done by, I believe she's a psychologist. Her name is Shelley Taylor. And what she started to notice when, you know, as she was leading up her own research team that was mostly women, was that when stress would occur within their team, they would not get into competition mode, right? They would not get into competition mode. They would not get into a space of, you know, wanting to fight each other or, you know, argue with each other or one-up each other. So she noticed this. And as she began to do her own research just to kind of dig into this more, what she realized is that most of the research done with regards to trauma responses were done with men and were done with, you know, male animals, right?
Wow, I'm so shocked.
You're so shocked, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So when we talk about adrenaline and cortisol being the, you know, primary chemicals that, you know, are released during stress, what's also released during stress is oxytocin.
Really?
Yes. And estrogen amplifies.
Isn't oxytocin a connector?
It's a connector.
Yes, right? Like it bonds.
It bonds. Estrogen amplifies the impact of oxytocin.
Oxytocin.
Mm-hmm. So in women, when stress occurs, naturally, because we have estrogen and oxytocin, one of the things that we look to do is we look to take care and we look to develop bonds and connections.
When we're stressed?
When we're stressed.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Wow.
When we're in healthy environments where we feel safe, where we feel like we have the ability to connect to others, tend and befriend supports us in nurturing people who we see are going through a difficult time and receiving nurturing from others. It enhances our ability to connect. When we're in unhealthy environments or we don't have a strong sense of self, this is when we get into the fawn response and the people-pleasing response because we're so used to negating self. So what I've seen happen in the community that I'm working with is because these are women who have already been on their healing journey for some time, we're consistently engaging in, you know, conversations about wellness and we're doing different like holistic activities together. What's happening is, and you know, this is not perfect because we're human. So I'm not saying that this is like some perfect utopia. But what I'm saying is more often than not, what happens is I'm witnessing in their individual journeys, there's an ability to be reflective of the self. There's an ability to understand the impact that they're having on other people. There's an ability to recover from hurt and harm within the group and outside of the group. And there's an ability to hold themselves accountable for showing up differently.
That's so big.
And also because they've all done work with me when I'm holding up a mirror and I'm like, okay, So this is what I'm seeing. This is what's happening. There's a level of connection and trust that they have in the process to also be able to continue that work. It's not perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, everybody is some, but more often than not, what I'm seeing is actual growth and tangible development of the self in ways that promotes further healing, that promotes further healing.
That sounds like a utopia to me. I want to go. So we are talking about sisterhood today and connecting. What would you say to somebody who's kind of like me? I felt like since the pandemic, I feel like I'm actually in a good place, but it was a journey where I felt like I'm really good at creating connection online. Mm-hmm. But then that gets a little bit hazy in person. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a woman who has that experience?
Well, let me ask you a few questions first, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. And of course, feel free to share what you want and what you don't. What feels hazy in person?
For me personally, mm-hmm. I feel like I saw the metaphor the other day. This makes perfect sense to me. When I'm around people, it's almost like, and this is probably a trauma response from being attuned when I was a child, and then there's like spiritual things too, but I feel like everyone has like a radio station, and when I'm around a lot of people, there's all radio stations playing at the same time, different stations, and it's just draining and overwhelming. Another thing that I find hazy in person is that I don't know if I'm neurospicy or whatever. I know you be telling me not to diagnose myself on TikTok. Baby, every day is something. But I really feel like I have to mask when I'm around people. Like, there, you know, I ever since I was a child, I feel like, wow, people lie all the time. Like, how are you? I'm great. Wonderful. I'm like, you're not wonderful. You know, so in my mind, I have to mask because I know that there's a certain level of lying and stuff that you have to engage in to be polite and not offend people. And it's just draining.
Yeah. So I'm grateful. Thank you so much for sharing, because I wanted to ask, because for a lot of people, there are different things that are occurring, right? So since the pandemic, you know, many of us were home. Some of us were home alone, you know, and if we weren't alone, we had a lot of choices and outs when it comes to like social activities, right? Oh, I'm not feeling well. Maybe I was exposed. Oh, I'm just choosing not to come. So we right. could be really selective over who we spent time with, right? Mm-hmm. I think that prior to the pandemic, we got so used to masking. We got so used to the feeling of discomfort in the body that we were well adept at suppressing that like state of being. And it didn't even register to us that it was something wrong with it. Many of us found comfort, at least in the beginning of the pandemic, we found comfort with, wow, like I can just be, I don't have to get up and like put on this outfit, right? Whether it's a literal or a figurative outfit for being. And then re-engaging with people, especially in 2023 and 2024, people are beginning to notice the disturbance in the body. And because mm-hmm. you've had a break from that for a period of time, it's no longer, quote unquote, normal. It is no longer expected. It is no longer expected. And so I would say pay attention to that. You ain't got to be around everybody who you feel uncomfortable around, right?
Like, yeah, I think I went through a whole roller coaster where I felt like, oh, okay, cut off everybody. What do I do? And now I feel like I'm at a good place where I love my own time so mm-hmm. much. I love being with myself so that it feels like I'm first my own friend. And then I don't need people in the same way.
You see spirit fingers? You see spirit fingers? First your own friend. Because here's the thing that happens when we're around people and we feel uncomfortable, when we're not our own friends, when we don't like ourselves, the first thing that we tell ourselves is that there's something wrong with us. Ooh, I must be feeling anxious and there's something wrong with me. Sometimes you are a highly sensitive person. If you're someone who has an experience of trauma, and I know this is, you know, trauma is a buzzword. We could have that conversation another day, right? But trauma is simply the body undergoing stressful situations. So we do undergo trauma, some aspect of it every day. But if you have experienced chronic stress and you have had to be hyper aware of others to keep yourself safe, your brain knows how to attune to other people really, really, really well.
Very,
very well.
Well.
And that's a skill, right? That's a skill. And so if you are a person who knows how to attune to others very well, you may be picking up on the truth. They may very well be a liar. They may very well be, you know, someone who was dishonest, right? And you have a choice. If you are safe within your body, if you know yourself, if you trust yourself, if you know how to cope, you can choose to show up in that space and show just enough of yourself to get by. Show just enough of yourself to keep yourself safe. But here's the thing. It has to be a version of yourself. What happens when we mask often is we pick up another aspect of someone else and we put it on ourselves.
We take like a meat jacket and put it on.
And we put it on, right? It has nothing to do with us. And so we're constantly having to like overwork in our brain to act, to perform. And the performance is what's very, very difficult. We have to understand that we have versions of ourselves and not everybody gets to have access to all of us. But if you're showing up as a version of yourself and it's still an authentic version of you, even if it's not the full you, you will find yourself less likely to feel drained, less likely to feel overwhelmed, and you're activating your choosing. Remember, one of the things that happens when we have experiences of pain and they get stored in our body as a traumatic experience is there's no choosing. There's no choosing. Loss of control, loss of power. And so if you're showing up in a space and you feel like you have no control, no power, no physical autonomy, right? Or emotional autonomy over how you're showing up, that experience too gets registered and joined in with the past painful experience to the body. Now the body is constantly trying to keep itself safe in that environment. But if you're aware, I'm going into this place and I feel like these people are liars. I'm going into this space and I don't feel safe. You can actively choose to care for yourself before you get there. And then the aspect of yourself that you want to show up as so that you're authentic and so that you're functioning in autonomy, that's going to support the body in feeling safe there so that you don't feel so drained.
I love that. I was thinking of you, all of your phrase that you gave me a long time ago, like you get to choose. Mm-hmm. And I think I come back to that all the time. I think that what makes me more effective in my connection with women now, like, and I feel like it's more healthy and it serves both parties better, is that I get to choose. I get to choose which aspect I bring to myself. And as you said before, I thought if I didn't bring my whole self, if they didn't get to see my whole self, if I didn't feel like I could express my whole self, if they can accept my whole self, then there's something wrong with the dynamic. And now I realize, like, no, I don't need to be seen by my whole self by everybody. Like, they might be able to just see this aspect. Like, I have friends now who relate to my reality TV experience. Mm-hmm. That might be the aspect that we see each other in very clearly. Mm-hmm. I have other friends who have no idea what that experience is like. And so I just think the idea is you get to choose, right? I want to just put a pin in that.
Absolutely. And because you see yourself, it is no longer necessary for people to validate all of you. And that also brings up a good point. It doesn't have to be that you're refining yourself because these people are bad, negative, evil, hurtful. It could just be that you connect with them differently and it doesn't make them wrong or you wrong. It's just that you recognize where you connect and you want to honor that without having to make it something other than what it actually is.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Love that. Mm-hmm. You know what? I want to ask, this is like shifting directions just a little bit, but I want to ask, do you think that there's a difference in the way that women go about creating community versus men?
Wow, this is a conversation I've been having a lot recently. I've been having it a lot recently with the men in my life, you know? Absolutely, I do. I think some of that has to do with socialization. And I also think some of that has to do with, you know, how the chemicals in our body react to things differently at different ages. What I'm noticing, I'm a woman of a certain age, child. So, you know, being over 40, almost 50, what I'm noticing and what I'm, you know, coming to understand is that biologically, when you have testosterone drives people who have, you know, more testosterone in their body to see the world a certain way, to be connected to their emotions differently, right? And in addition to that, socialization trains men to be more concerned with productivity. So we have productivity through sports, productivity through finances, productivity through work, productivity through labor, right? Through like physical labor. And I think that women, we have estrogen, which, interacts with our body and our brain chemistry a certain way. And I also think that we're socialized to be in relationships through nurturing and, you know, caring and conversation. Mm-hmm. Even the types of games that we play when we're younger demonstrates that. And so I think that women have the benefit here of being able to develop relationships where we get to be vulnerable. And I don't think that men allow themselves permission to be vulnerable until they're older, right? Mm. And because when they're older, they have less testosterone. And so they are able to feel things a little bit differently. And then I see the men in my life who were in their 40s approaching 50 more open about the experiences, seeking relationships with each other differently, wanting to be intentional about relationships. And I feel like that has something to do with the chemical makeup at our different ages in addition to how we're socialized. So, yeah.
I never considered that we have different levels of estrogen or testosterone, or men have testosterone at different ages. Mm-hmm. And that different, again, it's really bringing me back to, I did an episode with Koya Webb and we were talking about plants, mm-hmm. and what I've learned from my plants. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest lessons, I always come back to this, I think I told you too about this, that just, I don't expect them to be flourishing all year round. Like, it's normal. Yeah. It's very normal to have moments where they're wilting, or, you know, it looks like they're dying, but they're not. And so it just, when I look at them, I'm reminded, like, Sheila, don't expect yourself to have the same level of connection or commitment to every relationship all the time. Like, there might be moments where you spend a lot of time together and then you might not see each other in 6 months, and that's okay. I want to have one more question, and then I want to actually dive a little bit into more about how you do your work. One more question about community is, our episode is titled Healing Through Community, The Power of Sisterhood. Mm-hmm. When you hear that episode title, what is missing from that conversation? When you imagine what that conversation is about, what's usually missing?
That we should expect pain.
Tell me more.
You know, whenever we think about any kind of community, and when we think about any, you know, type of connection, we always think about it from a fairy tale perspective. We think about what feels good, what's going to feel good. Ooh, I'm going to get to know these people. Oh my God, oh my God. But we should expect pain, because we're dealing with humans. We're dealing with humans who have their own experience, who have their own worldview, and who have their own way of approaching things, right? And, you know, pain is on a spectrum, because it could be some people who are just mean and difficult. But pain also shows up when people have the best of intentions to love you.
Wow. Right?
Pain also shows up when people want to, like, hold you close, and there's something, you know, prickly about who you are. Right. And so when we walk into relationships and we honor, just like you were saying with the plants, right, that, like, people show up in different seasons in different ways and it feels different to us based on, you know, our own perception. When we honor love and we start there and we trust love in community and relationship, when pain shows up, we can honor that there may be an opportunity for repair. And then we can honor that even in loving people, you get to choose not to repair. And that can still be love. That can still be love, right? Or you can choose not to repair right now, and that can still be love. you know.
And that can still be love. I imagine that's very freeing for a lot of women to hear.
It is. It's scary, though. Like, the first response I get when I say to people, oh, my gosh, you have this new relationship, this new friendship. So now let's talk about what happens when they hurt you. People's eyes always get super big, like, what you mean? No. What happens when, not if, when?
It's when.
When whatever they do hurt you. And so, yeah, it can be freeing, but first we have to get past the Pollyanna-ish thinking about what it means to be in a relationship, because there will be hurt. There will be
100%. And I would agree with you in another conversation we can have about relationships at large, even romantic ones. I think that the Pollyanna-ish thing, I love that. Mm-hmm. I was taking that word. Mm-hmm. That thinking is applied to relationships all the time. And I'm like, are these people are having real relationships? This sounds like,
no, people are ending relationships more, right? Or they're causing the end of relationships because of their own belief systems more than they're having real, loving, honest relationships. Yeah.
Chill, that's a whole nother conversation. I want to talk about you for a few seconds, mm-hmm. and then I want to actually go into our toolkit, which is my favorite part, mm-hmm. because Unruly is all about putting it into practice. Yeah. But before we do that, I want to know, like, what self-care practices do you engage in to keep yourself grounded and energetically, spiritually, emotionally safe in the line of work that you do? Because you hear people's deepest, darkest traumas. People are crying. I know me, I've been crying before. Like, you hear really sad things. And how do you deal with that? What do you do to protect yourself?
You know, protection is both preemptive and reparative, right? And so I want to start by being honest. I'm not one of those people that's going to sit here and tell you that, like, what other people tell me doesn't impact me. I know this about myself for a lot of different reasons, because of my own lived experience, how my own brain works, how my spirit works. I do take in, like, I take in to my spiritual being and into my physical vessel what happens in the work that I do. I do. And I'm blessed to be in a spiritual system where we receive divination and information about spiritual tools that work specifically for us and that specifically support us, right? So I'm not perfect. So I'm supposed to always work with water next to me in a vessel, because the water takes the energy and it cleanses the space and protects me. And so that the water is something that I use, and I'm supposed to have it next to me and change it out, you know, each session, or at the very least at the end of each day. I'm not always that great with that.
Is that a technique that anyone could try, or is that specifically because you are ordained?
So as a priest, because I've been through, you know, ceremony, there are things that I know will work for me specifically, but like, nature is nature, right? And so one of the things that when I work with my clients and we're discovering what natural elements work for them, it is very much trial and error. And so anybody can try it. I do have clients who, you know, we recommend that they sleep with, you know, water underneath their bed. That's when they get the best sleep, right? Mm. Or they have to have water next to them at all times. So, yeah. So, you know, I mean, anything that I say, I happen to know that it works for me. You know, I have some other, you know, spiritual medicines that I have to engage in that I won't talk about that are specific to me. But, you know, the things that I'll mention today, you know, anybody can try them for themselves. So, you know, working with water, Florida water, is something that I do keep next to me. Now, that I keep next to me at all time. I don't know if you can see this bottle. It's like almost gone.
I got mine too.
I always have that next to me. It, you know, goes on my hands, and I know that I feel energy a lot on my shoulders. So I cleanse my shoulders and I cleanse my heart. I, you know, smell it. That supports me. And baths. You know, spiritual baths that I create for myself are things that are also helpful. And I also make my own lotion, and when I'm really on it, I make my own soap, and I include spiritual elements in there that support my physical vessel and my spiritual, you know, vessel throughout the day.
Wow. All right. I like this. We're making our own soap, you know, we're cleansing, we're cleaning, we're doing all the things. Mm-hmm. And y'all gonna be doing all the things too, because now we at the toolkit. And this is the part, because the unruly is not just about thinking and you know, the intellectual side of it. It's also about what actionable, practical things can we implement from these conversations into our everyday lives. So, Melissa, do you have, in terms of community, in terms of creating sisterhood, curating it, is there some, like, maybe takeaway that they can add to their toolkit? A journaling exercise, an affirmation, anything you have.
So the thing that I always want to encourage, period, but, you know, I'm on a specific journey with this, with, you know, my community this year, is how are you listening to yourself?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
And so here's why this is important for community. When we're in community with people, we find it hard to hear difficult things from others if we can't even listen to difficult things that our body is trying to communicate, right? We can't be a mirror to others in community if we don't want to look at the mirror that we are for ourselves, and we can't receive mirrorship from others, which is essentially what community is supposed to do, right? It's supposed to do. So the journey that we're all on in my community this year is stop being told what to do, and how are you listening to yourself to connect with what the self wants you to do. And so one exercise that I like to give often is something called the check-in, right? But we modify it just a little bit here. So the check-in is based off of the premise that the body is always giving you information that we've been trained to suppress, right? And so the check-in encourages you to find your calm, connect to the feeling, ask the feeling a question, and then listen to the first answer, and then free write and journal that response, assuming that it's correct, right? So deep breathing to find your calm, connecting to any disturbance in the body, asking it what it's trying to communicate to you, and then rewriting out that information. And actually what I'll do is I'll include my model for the check-in. I have a meditation that I, you know, guide people through with the check-in. So I'll include that on my website so that your listeners can go access it, use it, and try it out as a tangible tool to connect to the messages in their body so that they can stop suppressing. I find that people who become their best friends, who trust themselves, find it a lot easier to trust other people and to be in community with them as well.
Correct. Can you lead me through it really quickly?
Yes!
Maybe we don't have time to do the journaling.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. But we can talk it through real quick. All right.
Okay.
So I want you to think about one place in your body where you've been finding or feeling a nudging. Maybe something's been happening, you know, day to day, and you feel a little disturbance, but you're not quite sure what it is. Or you simply feel like a little butterflies or something, but you're not quite sure what it is. Do you have that?
Yeah, my like neck right here.
Yes, absolutely. So what I would like for you to do is to be able to engage in some deep breaths. Do you want me to guide you through breath, or do you feel comfortable guiding yourself?
You can guide me in case anyone's listening absolutely. And they want to.
So then we're going to do 4-4-4 breath, okay?
Ooh, my favorite.
Absolutely. So whenever you're ready, and I'm going to ask you if you can, because the best way to do this is to elongate the spine to give access to the heart. So just sitting straight up, and if you have your feet on the floor, if it's available to you to kind of plant your feet on the floor so that you can feel the ground beneath you. And whenever you're ready, I'm going to ask you to begin to breathe in deeply, simply noticing your breath first. Noticing what the body feels like first. What's comfortable and what's uncomfortable. And deepening your breath on each cycle of breath. Breathing in and breathing out. Deepening the breath each time you breathe in and breathe out. And one way that you know that you're deepening your breath is your belly expands and your chest begins to rise. Yeah. Releasing the breath through the mouth on each exhale. Excellent, excellent. Now we're going to begin 4-4-4 breath. Breathing in for a count of 4, holding it 4, releasing it 4. And whenever you're ready, begin to breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4, release through the mouth. 2, 3, 4. Excellent, excellent. We're going to do that just 2 more times. 2 more times. Breathing in. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. Release the breath through the mouth. 2, 3, 4. Excellent. And just 1 more round. Breathing in. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. Release. 2, 3, 4. And I simply want you to call your attention to that feeling in the body that you highlighted earlier. Noticing where it is. Giving it permission to even amplify as you continue to engage in deep breath and ask it what it's telling you. What does it want you to know? What information is it holding? And whenever it comes to you, you can open your eyes and let me know.
It's something like you don't have to hold on so tight. It's okay. Like,
it's okay. Yeah. And so maybe because you have a lot of irons in the fire right now, like a lot of things that are going on.
Yes.
You know, what are you holding on to with regards to those things, if you don't mind sharing?
Maybe I am recovering from the trauma response that I have to take care of everything. I have to micromanage everything. I have to be on top of everything. If I don't do that, everything will fall down like a house of cards. And also, things got to be hard to be good.
Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. Oh. That's a whole nother conversation because I was...
Oh, we letting that go.
Because that's a whole nother conversation. Yes.
That's another episode.
So my advice to you, like my homework for you, you know, I always like to, you know, end with homework.
We love homework.
It's a simple journal on journaling on trust. What does trust look like in this era of business for you? And I would even say in this era of life for you, because those of us who, you know, own our own businesses, our businesses are so intertwined with our lives. And so what does this season of trust look like for you? And a free write, free text journaling, nothing scripted or structured. Just start with that prompt and just write and see what comes out.
Thank you so much for that. I hope if you're listening, you take that tool with you because I'm over here. My brain is already firing like so many ideas. Yeah. So, Melissa, where can the people find you? If people want to know more about you, want to work with you?
Oh, so the best place to find me is melissaeifel.com. That website is still up. It's a little old, but you can contact me through there. But I am active on Instagram. And these days, child, they done got me into TikTok. So, So you can find me on both Instagram and TikTok at Melissa Eiffel, LCSW, Melissa Eiffel, LCSW on both platforms.
Melissa, thank you so much. I mean, I just love you down. All right. That was such a powerful conversation, wasn't it? I know. So let's dive into one of my favorite parts of the show. This is the Unruly Community Call-In section. And I love this part because I love hearing from you. So let's dive right into today's question.
Hey, Sheila. So my question is, as somebody who has a severe mother wound, I and my mother are doing better in our relationship. I'm 26 years old. But growing up, my relationship with my mother was very, very traumatic. I feel like that has now affected me in my adulthood when it comes down to showing off my talent and the things that I'm good at and actually living the life I want to live, because I'm so wounded by how I was treated as a young person trying to explore my creativity. And when I say young person, I specifically mean from between the ages of like 10 to like 14, around that age. And so that has severely affected my self-confidence and my belief in being able to be the person I want to see myself as, because I'm scared of my mother seeing me, you know, doing well. How do I overcome that and be the person I want to be and explore all the things that I know I'm good at when I have this mother wound?
This call is asking about something that I know affects so many women that I work with, and that is the mother wound. That's maybe one of the most requested topics that I get when I work with women, is they want to know, how can I either heal or move past a traumatic experience with my mother? And so she's 26 years old. She says she has a severe mother wound, and it's affecting her self-esteem and her ability to self-actualize. For this, I think you're the perfect candidate for some inner child work. I talk about this in my book as well. And I'll just give you one little quick exercise that I think you can do. So you say that a lot of feelings come up in the present day, but they're associated with childhood wounds. Present day, when these feelings come up, I want you to pause and I want you to close your eyes and see if you can think about, how old are you when you first felt that feeling? What age in your life is most strongly correlated to that feeling? Right? And trust yourself. Whatever you see, just go with it. So if you close your eyes, what age are you when you feel this feeling? And then I would ask you to ask that girl, however old she is, speak directly to her and ask her, what do you need now that you didn't get then? And whatever it is, give it to yourself now. So if I were to close my eyes and reconnect with the younger version of myself, and I said that I didn't get acknowledgement, I would find a way to acknowledge myself right now in the present moment, and whatever that means to you. But the more you engage in your inner child work and you reparent yourself, the less that this mother wound will have a hold on your present day experience. Much love. Thank you so much for sending that in. And to the rest of the Unruly community, if you have something on your mind, a question, or something you want me to answer, just send in a voice note at speakpipe.com/unruly. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode of Unruly.
Audio up. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.